Again, good morning to all of you. Happy that you've joined us in our worship, for we worship Jesus Christ, we worship God, rather, in spirit and in truth, according to the authority of Jesus Christ. You're visiting, we're so glad that you chose Kailua to be with us and to enjoy the fellowship and the worship. When Christ made his journey, his last journey to Jerusalem, to attend the Passover feast, he stopped in Caesarea Philippi, and there he told his apostles that upon this rock I will build my church, and that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The building of the church was left up to the apostles after Christ ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. The apostles had waited for the Holy Spirit to come down upon them before the apostles went forth and carried out that great commission of preaching the gospel, teaching those who obeyed that gospel, or teaching those who received that gospel that they should obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet when he spoke about building that church or building that kingdom, he also set forth what it will be or what it will cost for anyone to follow after Jesus Christ. And I read in verse 24 of this book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, all during the same time when Christ was going to Jerusalem to attend the Passover feast. And at that Passover feast, he will institute the Lord's Supper, and then he will be arrested. We'll go before Pilate and before the high priest and the Sanhedrin through all those trials until he was pronounced to be executed by Governor Pilate. Here's what he says about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. You and I want to spend eternity in heaven. You and I want to have that home in heaven, to receive the inheritance that God has promised through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he even told the apostles in his last speech before his arrest and before his crucifixion, in which he stated, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, then believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go and prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you will be also." So there's a home for you and me. And yet, I know too of what the scriptures teach me, that without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, that he that goes to God or comes to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek after him. I want to have that home in heaven. And yet, what effort will I put out to receive that home in heaven? What effort will you put out to receive that home in heaven? Christ died upon the cross to provide that home. Christ died and sacrificed himself in order that your sins be washed away so that you can stand justified before God and be welcomed into that home which Christ will prepare and is preparing for each one of us. We need to seek the kingdom of God first, and we need to be sober, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, and then there will be that inheritance waiting for me in heaven. The book of Revelation stated in chapter 2, verse 10, you be faithful unto death and you shall receive the crown of life. And so our primary aim is to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Then all of these things of the spiritual blessings of Christ will be added to me. But again, I must walk by faith, walk in the light as he is in the light, because it's faith, according to the Apostle John when he wrote 1 John 5, it will be faith that will help me overcome death and overcome sin, and I will receive the victory which is in Jesus Christ. Now I go back to this book of Philippians. That Paul wrote this book while he was in prison. So it's his last few years upon this earth, about 63, 64 AD. His last book, of course, is 2 Timothy. But in this book, there's a desire on the part of the Apostle Paul, in which he wrote to this Philippian church and says, I want to depart and be with my Lord in heaven. That's his desire. That's his wish. And with confidence, he could say that. I leave today. I know I'll be welcome in heaven. He said it as though it's a guarantee. And for him, it's a guarantee because he had placed his soul as a commitment to the one who saved him by the grace of the Heavenly Father. So when he said these words, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and then the decision he had to make, whether I want to go now and be with my Lord and enjoy all of the blessings that he had promised me, or stay here and help the churches and to strengthen and encourage the churches to live faithfully unto God. That was his choice. And yet, knowing about his mission in which Christ, when he appeared to him on the way to Damascus, and when he was appointed as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as stated in Acts, the 26th chapter, an account of that conversion, I found that that commission that he is to go to the Gentiles, turn the Gentiles from darkness to light, make known the gospel of Christ, and that you can present every man to be complete in Jesus Christ. He chose that. He chose, you know, to me it's a hard choice for this reason. That means I'll still be alive upon this earth, and still because I'm alive upon this earth and my mission is to support, to strengthen, and encourage Christians on the part of the Apostle Paul, yet I'm subject to the temptations of life. I'm subject to the hardships of living that Christian life. I'm subject, in other words, in which I can disqualify myself in receiving that home in heaven. Paul knew in regard to his strength in Jesus Christ, and Paul knew of the fact that God will always rescue him from temptation. He knew that. And so he says, I'll stay with you because it's much better I stay with you. And so he said these words, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's the thing that drove the Apostle Paul to live the kind of life that he lived, in order that in everything that he does will bring glory to the Father, and that everything that he does will be pleasing to the God who is in heaven. To live is Christ. When I look at that three words, to live is Christ, you can see the fact that his whole purpose while making the choice to stay with the churches at that time was to be able to strengthen his confidence in Christ, was to be able to strengthen to strengthen himself in order that confidently he can enter into the kingdom of Christ. He can enter it without being afraid of what will happen to him in the time when he approaches and is standing before God. He remains in the flesh for several reasons. It becomes fruitful labor for the Apostle Paul. He becomes more productive. He stays in this life because he wants to fulfill his obligation, in which he says in Romans 1:4, I'm under obligations to both Jews and Greeks. So as much as in me, I want to preach the gospel to you also there in Rome. He wants to fulfill his obligation. Thirdly, he wants to finish his course, because when he was on his way back to Jerusalem after his last missionary journey, the Apostle Paul stopped and talked to the Ephesian elders. He told the Ephesian elders, when the elders had told him, don't go to Jerusalem, you'll be arrested and you'll be put to death. But Paul says, no, I gotta go. For what reason? I want to finish my course. Those were the reasons why he wanted to stay. And because he's going to stay here upon this earth during these few more years that he has left, he said, I'll stay because for me, while I'm alive, to live is Christ. In Galatians, the second chapter, I want to look at what kind of life did Paul had in order that he might have that home in heaven, and see how it relates to you and me. And that's why I asked that question, how much effort are you and me putting on in regard to receiving that home in heaven? Is the Christian religion serious to you? That's the question. Am I eagerly looking for the home which is in heaven? Am I looking for the blessed hope when Christ comes back again a second time? How much am I looking for? What degree of effort am I doing in looking for that home? Here's what Paul says. In chapter 2, he says this, in verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. All right? Look at those words. I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. All right? I don't live. It's Christ who lives in me. He said it again in chapter 6 of this letter of the book of Galatians, in which he had stated this, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I've been crucified to the world. All right? He used the word again, crucified. That I've been crucified with Christ and I suffer all of the hardships that Christ did, except for the time that Christ had to go to the trial and was scourged and was beaten, was spat upon until he was led to go to the cross and then died on the cross. In this same book of Philippians, the one that I quoted from, to live is Christ and to die is gain, I look also again of what effort the Apostle Paul made in reaching out to go and meet the goal that God, through Christ, had set for him. I turn to Colossians, the third chapter. In the third chapter, he says to me, in verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And he goes on to say that all those things that I gain, I count them but rubbish. For what purpose? That I may gain Christ and may be found in him, a righteousness that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be able to be conformed to his death. For what reason? That I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. With Paul, it's full dedication and loyal to Jesus Christ. See, one of the things that was stated in regard to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24, when he had stated, if any man follows after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. The word deny. How much do you deny yourself of the pleasures of this earth in order to follow after Jesus Christ? How unselfish I am in regard to my serving Christ, or am I so selfish that it would gratify the pleasures that I have within me? That word denial is to deny all of those things that will hinder me from serving my Father who is in heaven. Deny what? You know, maybe I have to deny the vacation that I was going to spend $5,000 to go. Maybe I need to deny myself of that. Maybe I need to deny other pleasures that I want to take part in. For what purpose? That I may serve Christ, you know, and my God who is in heaven. I'll go on further in regard to this. Look at Philippians, the third chapter, again. In verse 12, it says this, not that I have already obtained, and not because I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which for which also Christ had laid hold. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, I'm going to forget what lies behind me. I'm going to reach forward to what lies ahead, and I'm going to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Right? Going to forget all my accomplishments in the past. That's what he said. I'm going to forget all the failures and the mistakes that I have made in the past. For what reason? So I can focus my mind on one thing, and that's the goal that is set before me that I might attain and gain Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Hey. I'll go on further. He understood what his role was in regard as an apostle. Other places of what he called himself, he said this, I'm a servant of God, according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2. When he told the Corinthian Christians or the Corinthian church, let each one of you regard me as a servant of Christ and as a steward of the mysteries of God. And he goes on to verse 2 and he says, it is required that a man be found faithful in his stewardship. You and I also have a stewardship because all that I have, in which it states in the book of James, every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, from the Father of lights, given to me. And as those things are placed in my hands, I'm a steward of all of those things. And Paul said it is required that a man be faithful in the discharge of his stewardship. And the greatest thing that he said that God has placed in me, and I want to be found faithful in discharging that stewardship, that he had placed the treasure of the gospel of Christ in his hands. You know, the gospel is placed in my hands too. Because God had made the church to become the pillar and ground of the truth. You and I are responsible for that gospel. You and I must defend and confirm that gospel of Jesus Christ in which Jude stated, you contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. Then that means I must contend for that gospel because God had placed the responsibility of that gospel in the hands of the church. And since you and I are members of the Lord's church, then it means the responsibility of the gospel is placed upon me. The Apostle Paul wrote to the young Timothy, in which he told Timothy, Timothy, I want you to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which is in Jesus Christ. And he told young Timothy, Timothy, I want you to take that which you received and share it with another faithful man so that both of you can be saved eternally. Hey. He wants to gain Christ. He wants to attain the resurrection from the dead. He wants to be sure that he can receive the crown of righteousness in which he had stated in 2 Timothy 4 in the last letter. And as his time of departure gets near, he says, I'm being offered now as a drink offering. My departure is near. And I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And I finished that course. And therefore, that reward will come to him, and not only to him, but also to all those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's to live. To live primarily for the purpose of serving God and his Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what the cost is, no matter what the effort it will take you to do it, no matter what sacrifice there is, both in the things of my own possessions, in the sacrifice of my time, in the sacrifice of spending time with people to present that gospel to those people, that all people might come to the knowledge of the truth and therefore be saved. But he said another four words. He says, to die is gain. When I keep pressing on to reach that goal, and then when I die, there'll be great gain for him. And for any Christian who is faithful unto death, he will receive a great gain also, because Paul said so, not only to him, but to all those who love his appearing. I'll gain, for instance, this body that's being decayed day after day after day, this body, which is a perishable body, becomes imperishable when I leave this earth. This body will turn from dishonor to become honored by Christ and by God. This body that I have, which is so weak right now because of the fact of my age and maybe because of other factors, will turn to power. This body, in other words, from mortality, will change to immortality. That's a gain that I will have if I put the diligent effort of serving my God who is in heaven. Revelation 21:7, he says, I'm going to possess and I'm going to enjoy all of God's heavenly blessings when I leave upon this earth. I'll be glorified with Christ according to 2 Thessalonians 1:10 and in Romans, the second chapter, verse 7, that when I go through the life of hardship, difficulties, and serving God, I'll have eternal life, according to Romans, the second chapter. I've mentioned it. I'll receive the crown of life. I'll receive the crown of righteousness. I'll also receive an eternal home, an eternal home in which I will have eternal peace with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'll have a complete fellowship with God and with Christ and with the Holy Spirit, but not only the fellowship of the three of the persons of the Godhead. I'll have eternal fellowship with all of the faithful ones that live from the beginning of time until time ends over here. Can you imagine the eternal fellowship with those people? I won't have that fellowship anymore of sinners and evildoers and liars and cheaters and fornicators. I won't have that fellowship anymore. They'll be all gone. I'll gain, in other words, the fellowship with faithful ones. The faithful ones, according to Hebrews 11, that is watching me, that are watching me as to how I'm living this Christian life. I'll be enjoying the life because my name is written in the book of life. And all of those persons who are written in the book of life and their names are written in that book of life by what? They're written because of the obedience to the Father who is in heaven. Not many will say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In Revelation 21, verse 7, in Revelation, the second chapter and the third chapter, when the writer, when Christ had addressed these letters to the seven churches, in every end of the letter, he says, those who overcome, I will give him access to the tree of life. Those who overcome, you know, you will be like, you know, the tree by the river that you will continue to live. Those who overcome, I will give a robe, the white robe of purity. I'll give you that robe. To those that overcome, I will give you part of the foundation of heaven itself. So it's telling me that I can have eternal fellowship with God and eternal fellowship with all of the saints. He tells me if I overcome, I will receive the crown of life. And those who continue in regard in their efforts of being productive in this life will have eternal life. So see what a great gain. Valueless, all right? Value of this great gain that's waiting for you. Providing I put the effort and walk in accordance to the faith that I have in Jesus Christ. Hey, a great gain. Maybe you don't think about how great a gain that is when Paul says to die is gain, right? To die is gain. All the values of the things that God promised me, all the priceless heavenly blessings beyond that which I can even dream of. God said through his son, you'll have it. When? After I'm faithful through life and when I pass from this earth. Christians, we need to be so sober-minded, clear in thinking, clear in my efforts, clear in wanting to do the things of Christ, to put away the things that tend to hinder me from running the race. And if I run that race and setting and focusing my eyes on Jesus Christ, I'll reach that prize. Paul has said this, I keep my body in control. I beat up my body. He says, because in doing so, I don't want to be disqualified to receive the prize that's waiting for me. Invitation is yours. Invitation for you to think about how you are living today, how much effort you're putting, how much time you're spending for the Christ. The more time I spent in my efforts in seeking the kingdom of God, the greater the opportunity will I have of having that home in heaven. You're not a Christian. It begins with you by having faith in the Son of God and believing in Christ as the Son of God, that you turn away and deny yourself the things of the world. And then you put him on in baptism, that you might raise to be, that you might be raised to walk in newness of life. Put away the old things of life put away the old things of sin. Put away the pleasures and the temptations of this life. And then put on Christ in baptism, that you may be raised to walk in newness of life. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. We stand and sing this song.